Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Jane Burkhart from Starboard Vacations. As a preferred Sandals Beaches agency, our professional travel planning services are free to our clients. We can help find the best Sandals or Beaches resort that fits your budget. Starboard Vacations, calls 662-429-1000.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, everybody, let's go. A new week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. As always, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg. And the opening segment of today's show is sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant, where you get a great buffet 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Friday nights, 5 to 8, Sunday, 11 to 2. Movie Star Restaurant, 25 years of serving the Pine Belt. Great weekend for the Golden Eagles as Southern Miss sweeps Texas State and moves up four spots in the D1 poll this week, up to number 18 in D1, up to number 16 in Baseball America, and an RPI up to 21. So a really solid weekend for the Golden Eagles, and I think my man Dima Mixon just described it perfectly in his article last night. Very well-written piece. Points out 39 strikeouts over the weekend, and Texas State comes in as the number one hitting home run team in the Sun Belt, and they get one home run on the weekend. So Coach Christian Ostrander joins us every Monday, and Coach, I know that 39 strikeouts is music to your ears. That's the way you like to see your staff perform, is it not, sir?
Oh, absolutely. You know, especially if that walk column's kind of shallow. So it's but no, it's good to get the punch outs, and you know, when you can, and it calls for it, and but also the outs are precious. So any way you can get the 27 outs or 30 outs, whatever it takes, you got to go do it.
I saw you say last night, I heard you say, and I thought it was such a great point. You said when you really have the ability to throw a lot of strikeouts, you can erase those walks with strikeouts. And that's really what your guys did all weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to give up a freebie, if you're going to, you know, give up a walk, you better have the ability to, one, induce a lot of ground balls, get a double play, or get that punch out to try to negate it. So, but if you can't do that, you know, then that's when bad things happen. And I think this year when we've had some of our, you know, not so good moments on the mound, that was a characteristic. So hopefully the challenge has been answered, and these guys are going to make sure they get back to what they do well.
And fair to say that this is the best weekend starting performances Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, I thought Graydon was really, really good again. I thought Camden, 6 strong innings. Then, you know, obviously, you know, Cam Clark getting his first start yesterday was, you know, very powerful, and got the pitch count where we were comfortable at, and, you know, and, you know, came within one pitch from, you know, getting a 5 complete innings. So, but did a great job, and just really encouraged to see that.
Yeah, 39 strikeouts over the weekend, Oz. 84 outs, I believe, because you had the 10 innings. I mean, 39 of the 84 outs are strikeouts, which is almost half of the outs. I mean, that's just – I mean, it's impressive when you look at those numbers.
Yeah, it's – you know, I knew that – I liked our matchup with their hitters. I felt like – I like our matchup with anybody, to be honest with you, when we pitch well. I mean, I think we have – variation. We had different looks. You have, you know, a lefty with ride. You got a right-hander with great sink. You got a right-hander with great ride and a great change up and velocity, and, you know, just a lot of different things. So there's 3 total different preparation plans that the offenses have to, you know, try to you know, put together, you know, for the weekend.
How important was it for not only you but also the bullpen to finish both the Saturday and Sunday games without Clark?
I think it's huge. I think, you know, making that move, it's something we've been talking about as a staff for a couple weeks. I mean, and we felt like the time was now to do it for 2 reasons. One, you know, to get where we want to, you need 3 starters that can go and be extremely competitive. And to get where we want to get to, you got to have multiple guys in the bullpen that can help, you know, finish a game other than Colby or whoever, and do that. And we know the pieces are there, but you got to allow them to have that opportunity. And it wasn't easy. I mean, there was part of me Saturday, 3-2 game, whatever inning. I sure did want to tell Cam to get ready. But, you know, at the end of the day, we stuck to our guns, and we made the move, and we got conviction on it.
He pitched only one inning, but I thought yesterday Crabtree played a big role in winning that game, Coach.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, when you get the extra innings, you know, it's you're trying to maintain, you know, especially when you're the home team, just, you know, keep it even. Keep it even. Give us a chance to walk it off. So you don't want to give up anything, and now the pressure's on your offense even more to come in the bottom half of the inning to have to get two runs or more. That was a big inning from him. Liked him in that. It looked right. He looked comfortable. So that was encouraging.
But the fact that that you started, you know, Camden on Sunday, that's just something that goes against baseball rule book, so to speak, that you just normally don't take a reliever and put him in that starting role. I applaud you for that, Coach, and it worked out. I'm glad that it worked out. But I think one of the things that people don't really understand is that lots of times you just kind of get set in ways and you don't necessarily think outside the box, but that's obviously something you guys had been contemplating.
Well, I think there's always a right answer, and you know, we leaned on each other as a staff, and you know, just what's right, because I knew there's probably multiple right answers in my opinion on that, but what was needed, what's going to help the whole thing, you know, and what's going to help our offense to feel like, heck yeah, we got this dude on the mound, you know, and it makes it easier. Or maybe this is a wake up for guys in the bullpen and say, hey, we're doing this because we trust you that you can handle it. So I think there's a lot of different meanings and messages that can come from it. So, but at the end of the day, we thought this was the best thing to do for this team, and to go out there and compete and win and try to, you know, achieve the goals that we have set for ourselves.
I asked Matthew Russo after the game, you know, if the offense played looser because of those three guys, what they were doing on the mound. He said 100%. Did you see it that way?
They should. I mean, I think that's usually a characteristic. When you got your dudes on the mound that are rolling, you know, there's a lot of confidence. And that confidence, you know, filters to a defense. That confidence filters to your offense, too. So when you feel like, hey, man, we're fixing to win this game because we got our guys out there. So there's power to that. And, you know, and that might make people think, well, why the heck didn't we do this earlier? Well, you know, there's also a lot of comfort when you got one of the best closers in the nation, too, out there behind you to help you finish games. But ultimately, it's about, you know, you want your best arms, your best guys to throw as many innings as they can for you. And so that's kind of why we're doing what we're doing.
The other thing, Coach, I think that you've kind of been against the grain on, and again, thumbs up for me, is that the looks like small ball's coming back. You know, at the beginning of the year, you talked about how you expected these guys to be able to rake and really have some pop in the bat, but you have not been afraid to put the ball down when strategy 101 calls for it. And I see the bunt coming back to the game of baseball. What are your thoughts?
Hey, man, I think it's a huge aspect of it that gets overlooked sometimes, and it's a beautiful piece of it that, you know, can help you win a game. And I think that's something that when we've done it well this year, it's been magnified. It's like, you know, it gets something started, it creates something and helps innings get going. So I think the ability to play quality baseball, respect the game of baseball and play it the right way by being able to do those things, I think can pay dividends for you. And yeah, I think it's something that, you know, we need to make sure we embrace, and that every hitter in that lineup that embraces it as well.
The Tampa Bay Rays and the major leagues are making a living putting bunts down because teams don't look like they even practice bunt defense anymore. They just don't know what to do with it lots of times.
Coach, we want to get on the other break. After the break, we'll get to the hitting side more, but I kind of want to stay with pitching just a moment. Two kids, too, that when you move Camden Clark to start, you got to have guys on the back end. And I thought that, obviously, Colby Allen is Colby Allen again. But I thought Josh Ock played a really big role, you know, in the back end of really keeping that Texas State team down. And he really had a couple of dramatic moments that he came through for you.
He did. I mean, you got to think, was it a leadoff double that ended up getting to third and no outs in a one-run game? Is that right?
I think
it was.
Yes.
And, you know, to get three punch outs, and that's huge. That's not easy to do. And he, you know, his fastball plays up, and you know, it's tough to really barrel. So you got to have the right swing path to really get a good barrel on it. But what he did on that time was able to execute all speed pitches. You know, that was a separator to me, is to being able to land that stuff, you know, in high pressure counts, 3-2 counts, and that's why he got two of the three strikeouts looking.
Coach, and we're going to keep you through the break if you will be with us. But home runs, guys, are exciting. But I got to tell you, when you see a kid like Ock make that last strikeout under that pressure and be that fired up coming
and
off
he's
the
not
field,
really an emotional guy.
No, either. That's pretty exciting stuff, Coach Oz.
Yeah, I've been waiting to see it. I'll be honest. I told him that point blank. I said, I've seen it before. I've seen that, exactly what he did. I've seen it before 2 years ago in the conference tournament against Troy. And so he's been there, and it's in him. So let it out.
Yeah, no question. Great job. Great job by both of those kids. And the first five in the batting lineup really produced this weekend. We're going to talk to Coach Oz about that and the upcoming week, because we're right back at it tomorrow night. Coach Christian Ostrander on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. As we head to break, don't forget about the podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play it for you. More with Coach Christian Ostrander, other side of the break.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Eagle Tire West sponsoring this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, Highway 98 West. They sell Goodyear tires, do full service truck and auto work, and they're big Southern Miss supporters. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. Hope that you'll give them all of your tire and maintenance business. We're talking to baseball coach Christian Ostrander. Golden Eagles coming off an exciting weekend at Pete Taylor Park. Three-game sweep of a really solid Texas State baseball team. And, Coach, let's move offensively. Much better offensive weekend for you. And what really jumped out at me is how productive batters 1-5 were throughout the weekend. And that's just crucial, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you know, usually you look at any lineup and the batters 1-5 are most likely going to be the guys at the top five in the stat sheet, right? You know, that, and so you need those guys, you need your dudes to produce, and it makes everything easier on everybody.
And when Davis Gillespie barrels up the way he did Saturday afternoon, about 20 feet over the billboard in left field, can anyone hit it harder than him when he barrels up, Coach?
No, he's very strong, I tell you. I mean, it's He can knock the fire out of it. And that one he hit, I'll tell you, I mean, that was impressive the other day, but the ball he hit in that Round Rock tournament against Oregon State, goodness gracious sakes alive, that one was one of the hardest I've ever seen.
It really doesn't even appear he's ever swinging that hard either. It's like he's like honestly like slapping at it, and it's going out of the park. It's crazy.
Well, the one at Oregon State was not a moonshot. It was like a 425-foot line drive, if that's the one I'm thinking about, Coach Oz.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's the one. It didn't get about 20-foot high. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And the shot heard around the world with Jack Duggan on the mic.
That's exactly right. We had to play that one a couple times on the show. Those home runs late Saturday, dramatic, but boy, that just kind of put it away. And all weekend, you know, the Golden Eagles just seemed to have the momentum. And now I guess the hope for all of us is that momentum carries over. And what we've seen every year from this team is it's about this time of the year they heat up. And they go on a tear, and that's a good sign this weekend in that regard, right, Coach?
We needed that. We needed to create some momentum, you know, instead of win one, lose one, all that junk we've been doing. And, you know, being able to, you know, let's get some momentum. Let's try to capture it. It's not easy. Tomorrow's a new day. You know, Tulane's going to come and try to win the game really hard too, just like we're going to try to win it. So, but you know, you just got to go out there, just play, continue to play reliable baseball. If each guy's reliable and does their job, then we'll have a shot, and that's all you can ask for.
I want to go back to Camden Clark really quickly, because I know that I think he started the game yesterday with like 10 straight fastballs and then started to, you know, put in that changeup, but he was also showing that slider and curveball, which if he could add those pitches to the arsenal, coach, I mean, that's a four pitch starter right there for you.
Yeah, I think the right thing, you know, and I think Coach Leger was spot on with it, that, you know, proving you're going to be on time to the heater. You know, so once they start getting to where they're cheating to it, that's when the off speed can come in. Because when you got a guy with a 95 mile an hour heater and stuff, if you throw change ups before they've got their barrel, you know, timed up to that heater, they could be on time. So you got to be careful. And so, yeah, it was, you know, there's a reason behind it. But yeah, when he gets the other things going with those fastball and change up, he's going to be really tough.
I want to talk about the pitch sequence then on Russo's home run. You know, that, because it looked like to me, They had him tied up with the early in the count, and you'd think that if it's not broken, don't fix it. Go back with the same pitch, but they changed it up. But he was ready for it.
Yeah, it's you know, just one of those deals where you think you have a guy set up, and you know, and maybe you don't quite execute. I'm sure they wanted that out of the zone, but it stayed, you know, stayed in the zone, and he got it, man. And so it's a game of execution, and it's, you know, your pitchers are going to make a ton of mistakes. They're going to make lead balls very hittable, and when you don't miss them, that's when they get really magnified. So kudos for Matt for, you know, not missing that mistake.
And Coach, we really haven't talked about any potential injuries or how, which usually no news is good news along that along those lines. How are we doing health wise now as we head into this final stretch?
Pretty good. Yeah, I mean we had a lot of sickness going around our team this past week. We had a bunch of guys playing through some stomach bug stuff, so it was it was touch and go for a little bit there, you know. I guess from Tuesday to yesterday, I don't think we had anybody, but Saturday and Sunday and Friday, and it was kind of tough, but that's part of it. Everybody goes through that.
Yeah, and when you look at the standings too, you get the sweep this weekend, but then when you look at the standings, it's like it's still difficult to separate. Everybody just seems to be right there, you know. You're in second by yourself, but you got four or five other teams that are like, yep, a game behind. There's no
room. How important is that second place finish? Because with the format, I think basically what that means is that you're going to get to play your first game against a team that has burned their, you know, their first starter.
Yeah.
So how important do you consider it to finish first or second going into the postseason tournament?
I think it is extremely important. Extremely important. And that's obviously what we're chasing.
Mm-hmm. Another kid I want to mention to you guys and get Coach Oz, because we don't talk about Odom much. And he caught yesterday, and he barreled up a couple of balls really hard that he hit right at people. And I thought he just played his guts out behind the plate. Can you comment on him, Coach? Because it's hard for a kid, I'm sure, to, you know, to be the backup. And then when he gets in, you know, you want to see him do well. And I just thought that was the best he had looked from my simple perspective yesterday, Coach.
No, I thought so too. I thought he competed hard at the plate. He always competes behind the plate. I mean, he's a ton of energy and throw that guys out and just everything. Great blocker. I mean, that's never been a question by any means. But you know, it's you know, let's be honest. I'm sure there's been frustrations there. I know he wants as much opportunity as he could get, and you know, and maybe we've gravitated towards Tucker more than we have him. It is what it is. You got to keep yourself ready, and you know, keep yourself humble and hungry, and keep it in perspective. And I think he's done a great job of that. And that's it's a team game. You got a lot of bodies over there in that dugout, and only nine of them are out there at one time and one pitcher. So, you know, the guys that can maintain positivity and still be great teammates, they get rewarded when their opportunities come.
Do you like that lineup with him as the catcher and Stockman as the DH?
Not really. You know, it limits you to left on right matchups,
sure,
pinch hitting. It you can't really take one of them out without, because then you risk, if something did happen, man, I don't know. Okay, you know, that get, you know, Kobe Allen, but if he's already played, I mean, you'd be in trouble from the catching side. So, but you know, I felt like it was right. We did it last weekend. Did it yesterday. I felt good about it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm going to do it every time, but who knows?
One of the things that number two guys on the depth charts have to deal with, too, is the fact that when they get that opportunity, sometimes they'll try too hard, if there is such a thing, and get themselves tensed up and tight. And that's the other thing that they have to deal with, because when they have limited time to perform, they've got to do it. There's very little room for
Coach
error.
Odom was batting at the end of the game yesterday when they had the wild pitch, and it just seemed to me that they were trying to keep the pitches really low because they didn't want to put anything up that he could hit into the outfield, because a sack would have won the game. Is that right? Do you think that's why that may have led to that wild pitch?
Yeah, I guess. You know, I think it was some kind of off-speed pitch that looked like it just spiked. But, you know, theoretically, you know, you want to try to get the ball on the ground there for sure, you know, and, you know, with their double play depth or whatever they were. So, but, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, that would be the ideology of it, because you'd want to, you know, a fly ball in the outfield could win the game.
I got a kick out of the Texas State catcher once that ball went, but he didn't even run for it. Just, oh, well, that's it.
Yeah. But a lot of things led up to that scenario.
Sure.
You know, that you had your pinch runner at third base. You had to have some things happen.
I thought long legging that out to third was the clincher right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a single, I think, to center field, and he legged it out to third, coach.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to me, it's a leadoff walk, Drake taking the walk. You know, you pinch run there with Ty, and then whatever, we try to bunt, don't execute, you know, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't pretty. And then, you know, Tucker really competing hard with two strikes and going back up the middle for a base hit, and then Ty, you know, doing that, going first to third. And so, you know, leadoff walk, aggressive hustle, base running, and battling two strikes to get a base hit up the middle. You know, that was the difference.
We've talked about how Hill Denson talks about how this is a game of inches. That one decision, perhaps, of putting Ty Long into pinch run could have potentially been the difference in that game.
He obviously didn't care what we did, but when he went around second base, it was almost like we had rehearsed it. Every single person sitting with me was screaming, "Run, Ty! Run, Ty! Run, Ty!" So he did get to third base. Grown man acting that crazy over 20-year-old kids playing baseball.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Can you imagine that? Coach, we appreciate you very much. Great weekend, and we look forward to more baseball tomorrow night at P. Taylor Park.
All right, thank you.
All right, Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody. Guys, in my imagination, he just sounded a little happier this Monday.
Yeah, I mean.
when he said we needed this.
I was about to say, I think like relieved would be the right adjective.
Yeah.
Just like, and almost like the whole team probably feels that of like, all right, we're back. We're okay. Yeah. You know?
But again, when you look at those standings, you'd think, okay, we sweep a series, get a little breathing room. There isn't any breathing room. Yeah. You got still four or
but
five.
I'd rather be where they are now.
For sure.
Than where they were last week.
Yeah, I mean, look at Texas State. They fell all the way to like eighth.
Yeah.
And that's where Southern Miss could have been had things not turned out the way they did.
As my grandmother used to say, coulda, woulda, sugar.
And somebody, Bob, sitting in this studio today, got hammered this weekend over some things.
He doesn't drink.
No, not that kind of hammered, but public relations hammered.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, glad you're back with us. Thanks for tuning in today, and appreciate Coach Christian Ostrander for joining us every morning. Good sounding Oz today, and for good reason. Quick reminder, D1 has Golden Eagles number 18 in this week's poll. Baseball America at 16. Perfect game at 22. Didn't see the coaches poll. It's always out so late. And RPI at 21. So
12.
That's 12. All right, Dima. So you made a comment to me last night, and I was glad to hear it back in the hosting picture.
Oh, no doubt. They needed this sweep. You know, now you're at 12 RPI with your resume. You know, they're back in the driver's seat for sure host. I mean, with a 12 RPI, you're definitely getting a host. You know, I've long said that as long as they get to 20 league wins, they should get there. You know, that they should, like, that would be almost a lock at hosting if they get to 20. Right now they're at 11, so that's 9 of your next 12. There's four right now in your next 12. So that's some room to even drop a few games. So right.
And they're 12 games away now from a 40-win season, which would break an all-time NCAA record of 10 consecutive years of four.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say they're going to achieve that.
That is remarkable when you stop and think about it. That just almost seems to be impossible, doesn't it?
Yeah. And one thing about the schedule, like going forward, and I know that South Alabama is this weekend, and it's not going to be easy. It's in Mobile. You know, ULM's improved and things like that. But the next four conference series are by far the easiest on the schedule. I mean, that's just a fact based on what they've faced in the beginning between Arkansas State, Troy, Louisiana, Texas
State. All the better teams.
Yeah. Correct. So this is a very manageable stretch. And now that you have some answers on your weekend rotation, you would think they're pretty much favored in every game moving forward. And right back in the driver's seat to host. And once again, I would say it's now theirs to lose. Mm-hmm. That driver's seat. That's
what
the driver's seat means.
I would encourage people to read Dima's article that he put out last night because I thought it was a near perfect synopsis of what the weekend accomplished.
Well, thank you.
Actually, I was a little surprised that Dima came into the studio today without bandages or Band-Aids.
Remember, Dima, if they're not talking about you, you're not doing your job.
Because my boy took some abuse on social media this weekend. On the show last Friday, we were at Ramey Motors and making predictions and so on. And, of course, our boy Dakota was there, too. And based on the way that the Eagles had been playing and how Texas State had been playing, Dima predicted that Texas State would win the series 2-1, to which I guess a lot of people on social media had a problem with that. But I think it's important that in your response to that is right on, right? You're not a paid cheerleader. Mm-hmm. You're thrilled that the Eagles won. We all are thrilled this weekend, but... And it's just really a talking point.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. And even on this show, I'm not paid by the university, number one. Y'all aren't, first off. But I'm not paid by the university. Anything I'm doing, I'm paid by an independent news organization. And I'm supposed to report, you know, how I see it. You know, fair reporting. Not going to sunshine pump Southern Miss. Not going to just dog on them either. You know, a middle to fair ground, you know, assessment of what's going on. And no one with a straight face could tell you that the last 4 weeks was good baseball by any means. They were struggling coming into that Texas State series. And you would think that them struggling against, you know, a really good offense, you know, that I picked Texas State to win. And I even said on the show, if you go back and listen to it, I said, when do we expect Southern Miss to change? I don't know. Until they do, I'm just going to have to assume it stays the same. I said that on the show. That's the only reason why I'm picking him. I didn't think that Southern Miss was worse than Texas State. That's the only thing I said. And now what did Southern Miss do? They proved that they changed, and now I'm definitely not going to pick them moving forward. But one thing I did say to, you know, a couple people who, you know, said some things, and it is what it is, and I'm not upset about it. And the first thing I learned in journalism is, you know, it doesn't – like. I can't get my panties in a wad. I'm not going to be the victim, if that makes sense. You know, I'm just going to do my job. If people don't like it, you don't have to read it. That's the basic line. But here's the point that I want to make here really quickly. The way I do things, of course, where it's a little bit unbiased, I'm probably one of the only people in the entire city who is like that, reports that way, you know, outside of, you know, maybe WDAM, let's just say. So when I publicly say that Southern Miss is going to lose the series to Texas State, I know that I'm going to be put up as like a poster boy, if you will. You know, if that's wrong, people are going to come at me, and that's just part of the job. So I just accept that, if that makes sense. I just think that that's a fair thing to do for them. But it's because while other people might feel that way, you might have felt that Southern Miss was going to lose to Texas State this series, but you're not putting it out on social media with your, you know, all your followers that you have. So,
yeah, I don't have any. The IRS,
well, I do. So
the IRS follows me closely.
I want you to know I had a couple people come up to me Saturday and make a comment to me about it. I blame Sandra.
and go ahead. Everybody else does, yeah, you know. So,
but I stand by my pick. That's
sure,
the thing.
No,
it's like I thought it was a good pick, and you know what? Southern Miss proved me wrong.
And great. Look, I'm the fact that even maybe a player or two had something to say about
that
proves that you were an inspiration.
Sure,
perhaps in some way, shape,
bulletin
or form.
Bulletin board material for the team I cover.
Well, you know, so but I think it is important to note that one of the things that I have heard about people who listen to this show on a regular basis, Bob, and you can get in on this if you want, is the fact they like the fact that we are not paid by the university, that we are not a mouthpiece for the university.
Not affiliated.
And as somebody has to keep the university's feet held to the fire on certain things, we are thrilled to be able to report good news, but we can't avoid bad news. And that just goes along with the job. And if you don't have that thick skin, then you're in the wrong business.
Don't be in the media if that kind of thing upsets you, because
it doesn't upset me. I know it doesn't.
I'm just saying anybody that's coming into the media should know that's part of the deal.
And we've got D1 baseball has us, what was it, at
18th.
Well, we've got D-Bat, Bob, number one on our list, right?
No, there's no question. They're on Hardy Street. They do great baseball, softball training for kids and adult training for fit, trim athletes like Kelly. That's where you go for all your workouts. And is that where you run your dashes and, you know, do your calisthenics and stuff?
Yeah, whatever you say, Bob.
It looks like it's working.
Because although I'm not paid by the university, I am paid by Bob. So whatever he says goes.
Well, I know that Bob, you know, after this weekend sweep, he was already on Expedia looking at flights to Omaha. So
I have rebooked. Yes, I have rebooked.
He's rebooked.
And Sunday night.
And while the men.
Did you book refundable?
And while the men won three games this weekend, the Eagles softball team went to San Marcos and did something that they haven't done hardly at all, and that's beat Texas State. Now, they didn't win the series. They did win yesterday's game 2-1 to get that 1 out of 3, but the softball team continues to play very, very well. And actually, with that win Saturday, they stay a game ahead of Texas State in the standings. So they're playing great. We're going to have some more interviews with our softball players a little bit later this week.
Also this week, we're going to be here. We're going to do some interviews this afternoon with Graydon Harris, Joey Urban, and Ben Higdon. We'll be bringing those to you. And another point about Texas State, that's the last time Southern Miss will ever play them.
Yeah, unless they see each other, Montgomery. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, that's right, the last series with them. And, you know, tough way to go out for them, I guess.
Yeah. Later on this week, also, the National Football League draft is scheduled for Thursday and Friday. We'll have Patrick McGee from New Orleans. Round one slated to be taken on Thursday night. Then rounds 2 and 3 will go on Friday night. Rounds 4 through 7 will be on Saturday.
One last comment about the baseball game. You know, there was a little brush-up Saturday afternoon. You had the DH for Texas State come out, had a left-handed freshman come in for Southern Miss. The DH lined up with about 3/4 of both of his cleats across the inside, you know, barrier line on the batting box. Not, I don't know, 6-8 inches from home plate. He was on top of home. Well, the crowd went berserk. I've talked to two coaches today, and both coaches told me that, yes, that is a discretionary call by the umpire, and the umpire could have chosen to call him out, but chose not to. He was hit by a pitch. And in retrospect, it all worked out, and I'm glad it did work out that way, because, Dima, you were there. Boy, that created some excitement the rest of the afternoon at Pete Taylor, didn't it?
No doubt. And like I said, I mean, it really felt like a postseason atmosphere almost all three games, definitely Saturday and Sunday's game. And like I said, they needed it. And Ostrander said it. He said, listen, we've had some of these games that just haven't gone our way, where we haven't gotten that momentum swing. And I really thought when Josh Schock got those 3 strikeouts in the top of the 8th, that really swung the entire weekend, in my opinion.
Man, that was clutch.
Southern Miss, you know, got those 2 home runs in the bottom half right after that, and then, you know, went on to sweep. That to me, we're going to look back on this weekend. If Southern Miss goes on to what they want to do, we're going to look back to this weekend of that moment of Josh Hawk striking out those guys and Camden Clark moving to Sunday and the bullpen being able to finish both those games without him. I think we're going to look back to this weekend. If this team were to go on a run like they always do, we're going to look back to this right here.
And if they go to the Midwest, if they go to Omaha, the pitching staff is going to have to perform as a whole like they did this weekend.
That's a great point. I think that could be proved to be that scenario, the Ock performance right there, and then the home runs, the turning point of the season.
It sounds very just like minimalistic, where it's just like, it's just a strikeout, but you could feel in the stadium the whole momentum shift of the whole team.
Yeah. I mean, he was fired up.
Yeah, it was a noticeable momentum swing, because I think everybody in the back of their head was like, oh, here we go. You know, we might blow a late lead, and then got those 3 strikeouts, took that lead, won the series, got a chance to sweep. It just felt – you cannot overstate how big that moment was.
And then Gillespie hit the ball so hard, I'm not sure it has stopped rolling right now.
It's up in Starkville.
It could be in Starkville, but my word almighty, did he crush that baseball.
Glad he's on our side.
He had a nice slow trot by the Texas State dugout.
He sure did, too, didn't he? Oh, I love baseball. We'll be back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And I want to thank again Christian Ostrander for joining us every Monday. All right, Eagle fans, here's a good one for you. Our friends at MCS Home Center. Now, listen to this. They're going to give away 2,000. 2,000. You hear me, Kelly? 2,000.
Not 1,000.
Not 1,000. Okay. Not 1,500, Kelly.
Okay, Joey Bishop.
Not 1,750, Kelly. 2,000 Southern Miss T-shirts at the USM Monroe football game.
Baseball game.
I'm sorry. On May 2nd, USM Monroe baseball game. May 2nd. Coach Scott Berry's going to be out there handing them out. We talk all the time. If you need anything for your home project, lawn, or garden, MCS is the team for the job. And MCS Home Center is proud to announce they're going to give away two. We've got some here in the studio, I'll have to admit. We've been brought some. And they're beautiful. They're cool, man. They really look good. And so you get your chance. 2,000 of them going to be given away May 2nd. And the man himself, Scott Berry, is going to be handing out those T-shirts.
Well, that's going to mess up his tee time.
He doesn't play golf with the Golden Eagles. Okay. Hey, and if you've got some gold and silver sitting around your house and you need some cash, where would you go, Kelly?
I would check with Marty Vick before I go. Well, there would really be no reason to go anywhere else than the Marty Vick at Jewel Masters.
Who's been doing it longer than anyone?
He's the man. He invented it.
Who gives you top dollar, Kelly?
Marty Vick.
And who's got a beautiful wife that you and I shake our heads and wonder, how in the world did he pull that off?
Yeah, Marty Vick.
My wife was in here.
She was.
We wonder the same thing about you.
I wonder that every day.
You really want to know the truth. So that's where you take your gold and your silver to Jewel Masters. And all seriousness, you'll never meet two better, honest people than Marty and Cindy Vick. All right, guys, news and notes.
Well, let's start with spring football. They wrapped up spring training on Saturday with the spring showcase. I want to say that, articulate spring showcase, because it was not a spring game. Just wanted to point out it was not.
Yeah,
a spring
game. Wasn't the black versus the gold.
It's not a spring game by any means. It was a spring showcase. The Golden Eagles went about 2 hours, I'd say roughly about from 12:30 to 1:32, something like that. And they did various drills. Blake Anderson had a mic where he was like announcing to the fans what was going on. They ran like third down drills where it was like the defense could win three or the offense could win three. They did some like fan engagement situations where they'd have them return punts. They brought a guy on for a kick catch competition with the kicker. And then at the very end of that, they ran about 10 to 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes-ish, of live football. And that was really the only live football that anybody got to see that day. But all three quarterbacks, Hampton, Liddy, and John White, all got a rep with the one first string. Ethan Hampton probably looked the best, but that was because, you know, he just found two receivers on wide open wheel routes where there wasn't a defender anywhere near him, so that kind of inflated his numbers a little bit. But I thought overall the offense looked significantly better than the defense. But I will say there wasn't much to gain from it just because there wasn't that much football.
And you said that your fans returned punts?
Yeah.
Kind of getting the fans involved in part of the action. A couple of names you might want to kind of write down preliminarily.
Fans return punts.
Well, I mean, it was like a, you know, game sort of thing.
Please tell me they didn't return them all the way for a touchdown.
I think it was literally just to see if they could catch it or not.
No, we're waiting.
By the way, the punters looked great. They were punting probably 50, 60 yards.
But a couple of names you might want to keep in the Rolodex coming up to the fall. Robert Henderson, a running back, who's a junior college product. And Mario Sanders, a wide receiver. He actually caught two TD passes.
Yeah. So, both on wheel routes.
And he's a transfer from Tulsa. He was a member of the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. And again, Robert Henderson, a JUCO transfer, Henderson, the running back, and Mario Sanders, a wide receiver.
I'll tell you what, when we get to the fall and people are like starting to like cover this team for real outside of like what we've done in spring, it's going to be like a who's who. I mean, it's literally going to be like that. For example, like who in the world is he going to bring to Sunbelt Media Day in July? You know, like, you know.
Yeah. I Hampton, you would think for sure.
Well, he's not the starter.
Well, not yet.
Yeah, but he told us on Saturday, we asked him if anybody's come out, you know, just in front. He said, no, they're all the same when it's a tough competition.
One player from last year starting 22 is back. Is that correct?
Yes, the one offensive lineman. But he didn't start every game last year. He started some games. Mm-hmm. And then – but think about, you know, like on the first Saturday, the first game when everybody's, you know, watching this team, they're like, oh, I don't know who that is. Oh, that guy looks good. Yeah. I remember, you know, people were tweeting at me and stuff and saying, like, number six looks good. Who's that? You know?
And he might not be wearing six in the fall.
That's right. You
know? And it's not just Southern Miss.
That's
right.
Sure.
We should point that out.
But our women's golf team is the defending Sun Belt champions, and they begin round one today defending their crown. They are competing at the championships at the Lakewood Country Club in Point Clear, Alabama. They head into the event as the reigning champs, and they, you know, because they were the reigning champs last year, they got to go to the NCAA tournament. The Dogwood course, Lakewood Club has different courses. They're playing the Dogwood course for the championships. It's a 72 par layout, and we will tell you how they are progressing as the week goes on here.
All right, Graydon Harris, Joey Urban, Ben Higdon all on the show this week. Kelly's going to be getting us some softball interviews. Daniel Stewart will join us tomorrow, give us his breakdown on pitching. It'll be interesting to hear what he says. And moving forward, if you want to be critical of anybody on the show for their writing, make it Kelly. And
yeah.
I'll post his personal cell phone number on our Facebook page later today.
They'll probably still come after me.
Well, they should come after him. It's not you.
I'll go in there. I'll tear him apart.
Southern Miss, Kelly.
To the top, baby.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.